The scripture that Pastor Samuel has selected today is 1 John 2, 15 to 23 on page 1130 in your Bibles if you choose to read along. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Winston, could you come forward to introduce?
Good morning, people of peace. You know this handsome gentleman next to me, don't you? There we go. I know Samuel has been introduced to the congregation before, but we thought that we'd have this wonderful pulpit exchange, and that doesn't mean that I'm going to lift this up, walk out with it after the service, and Samuel's got to bring his own one in. It just means that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to hear from Samuel, but also gives me an opportunity to introduce Samuel a little bit more to you, as our congregations seek a closer partnership in the work of the gospel in our neighborhood. So, a little bit about Samuel. So, Pastor Samuel grew up in Hong Kong, and he moved to Canada to pursue his post-secondary education. Upon graduating from the University of Toronto, he returned to Hong Kong, and over a span of more than 15 years, he worked at various international banks. So he has experience in the corporate world, never a good thing for a preacher. Samuel and his family formally immigrated to Calgary in 1999. During his time in Calgary, he answered the call from God and enrolled at Ambrose Seminary in 2014, where he earned his Master of Ministry and Leadership. But he began his full-time ministry before then in Edmonton from 2008 to 2012, and then answered a call to Surrey Chinese Baptist Church. As you can see, he comes from good stock, in 2012, and where he served until joining Richmond Peace Chinese Mennonite Church here with us. Pastor Samuel and his wife Phyllis are extremely grateful to serve God here in Richmond with a group of dedicated brothers and sisters. And I asked him what his passion and his vision was, and he answered and he said, well, he has a deep passion for continuing to build a healthy church or healthy churches and nurturing and equipping disciples so that they are and we are together inspired to fulfill the Great Commission. Brother, it's my great pleasure to have you preach for us today. It's not quite a fair exchange, though. He gets to preach in his second language, English. I get to preach in English later on with a translator. So, brother, I feel that I scored on the exchange, but we trust that the Lord will fill you with His Spirit and bless you as you speak to us today. Can I pray for you? Let me do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've called Samuel and Phyllis, O Lord, to come and minister alongside us here in Richmond. Lord, we thank you for their journey to thus far. We thank you for your hand upon them. We thank you for all the ways in which you've prepared them for this. And Lord, we pray now that you would bless him, that his words would be your words to us. We pray, O Lord, that you'd open our hearts to receive that. But Lord, we also pray for your blessing upon the work of their congregation, O Lord, as they seek to be light and truth here in Richmond. Oh Lord, would you shower them with an outpouring of your Spirit, and would you revive them and us, I pray. We ask this in your name. Amen. Brother, bring us the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. Greeting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed a privilege and a joy for me to be with you this morning. And particularly thanks to Pastor Winston for his introduction and arrangement. For the past few months, Pastor Winston and I have been discussing about the possibilities of doing ministry together in the future. I hope we, as one body in Christ, we can establish a more closer relationship for the benefit of the kingdom of God. The sermon topic today is genuine or counterfeit faith, with scripture taken from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 23. Here, the Apostle John gave us a stern warning, telling us to be aware of the false teaching or heresies that would lure us away from what we believe and from the love of the Father. But before we go on, let us again pray together. Father, when we gather here this morning to worship you, may the Holy Spirit speak directly to each one of us. We know that your word is not only a book for our reference, but all scripture are inspired by you and profitable in teaching, correcting, and training. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When talking about genuine and counterfeit, we know today the problem of fake products. So many, such as handbag or clothing, fashion clothes, or even passport, which are indeed very good quality. They are almost identical to the real. Frankly speaking, quite often, we cannot tell the difference visually. For many of us, we usually don't carry too much cash in our pocket or even within our wallet. But I remember the old days of my father when occasionally he carried $100 bills in his pocket. For those $100 bills, just for grocery shopping or for payment in restaurant. I recall when he handed the $100 bill to the cashier, and when the cashier received the bill, he or she was a little bit nervous and tried to examine carefully and put the bill under the fluorescent ultraviolet light, just to spot and to check whether this was a counterfeit bill. Why was the cashier to be concerned about this? The answer is obvious. Counterfeit bill has no value. If a cashier received a fake banknote, but without doing the due diligence of checking, he or she would have assumed the responsibility to compensate for the company's loss. It is traumatic when someone using fake money to deceive you, because you may end up working for the whole day without being paid. but there is something more traumatic and tragic when we as Christians are deceived by the unsuspecting and put our faith in jeopardy. Apostle John gave us a few warnings, and I'm going to cover three major points as the outline of my sermon. Number one, anti-Christian forces drive you to love the world, from verses 15 to 17. Second, anti-Christian forces need you to depart from the fellowship, 18 to 19. And number three, anti-Christian forces deny the divinity of Jesus, verses 21 to 23. Let us discuss this one by one. Today, anti-Christian forces drive you loving the world, from verses 15 to 17. Three things clearly from the secular world will take you away from the love of our Father, which are number one, lust of the flesh, and number two, lust of the eyes, and number three, the pride of life. These three things, all these three temptations are the human weaknesses in history and are consistently used by Satan as some of the tactics enticing all of us, using our human nature as well as our weaknesses. These kind of desires can be originated back to the Garden of Eden. You are well aware of Genesis chapter 3. There was a trap set by Satan. When God created everything which are good and for Adam and Eve to enjoy, God told them they can eat everything from every tree in the garden except one tree, which is called knowledge of good and evil. But then the serpent came to the woman. Did God say you will die? You will not surely die. For when God knows that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will like God, knowing good and evil. So for Eve, firstly, she thought how good the fruit would take, how good the fruit would taste, how it would satisfy her flesh. She went after the nuts of the flesh. Secondly, it is said that she took the forbidden fruit when she saw that the fruit was pleasing to her eyes. She saw how pretty and desirable the fruit was. She went after the nuts of the eyes. Thirdly, she believed that the forbidden fruit would let her to gain wisdom. She thought how smart the fruit would make her to become. How my husband, Adam, would admire me if I ate the fruit. I will be like God. So, Eve, she went after the pride of life. As a result, not only she took the fruit, but tragically, she also gave some to her husband. Then both were separated from God. How is the application to our life today? Today we know that the social media is so influential. with the millions of apps, websites, and other platforms for people to communicate these days. This is truly the age of the social media. When I was just a little boy, I remember radio and newspaper were the only mass media. There was no TV, not even black and white TV in my house. No telephone, and of course, no computer at that time. But now, social media and all the mobile apps are a huge part of our culture. We are bombarded daily with attractive people trying to sell us their lifestyle or products that they claim will make us happy. We will be happy if we own it. My son is in his fourth year university. He asked me a question several years ago. He said, "How come all the Korean K-pop singer or Korean stars, TV stars, they look so beautiful?" I told him that South Korea is the most cosmetically enhanced country in the world. It is no secret that there are a lot of plastic surgery going on in South Korea. They are Asia's number one, and they are world's number one. That is the reason. Many young adults or adults are going after the nuts of the eyes. On the other hand, when we navigate our cell phone or computer, there are many attractive consumer products, all aims to persuade you to spend your money. Sometimes it is quite easy to buy on those items because there are many credit card offers that will entice you into the consumer mindset. Just buy, buy, buy. So people are going after the lust of the flesh. I'm not sure you know it or not, right now in China, mobile payment is growing so rapidly. When you are approached by a homeless person on the street and being asked for money, you cannot use the excuse saying, "Sorry, no spare change." Nowadays, the homeless people whose cell phone are equipped with mobile payment. That means they accept your money via the mobile phone. Well, it is simply the world packing into our life. Every year, people spend billions of dollars on casino or on lottery tickets. The advertisements tell you that if you hit only once, if just one lucky hit, you will have it all. You have all the money. Then what? Then you don't have to swallow your frustration. You don't have to swallow your anger in front of your boss. You just simply say, "I quit." So, you are going after the pride of life. Next time when you face the temptation on the verge of falling into sin, remember, it is always the similar trend. Number one, desire of the flesh, just satisfying your physical need. And number two, desire of the eyes, pleasing to the outward appearance. And number three, fulfilling your ego, the pride of life. Therefore, testing your faith to find out whether it is genuine or counterfeit, the first step is to notice that all of these anti-Christian forces will be driving you towards the loving of this world and forsaking the love of the Father. Secondly, there is something that will need you to depart from the fellowship. What we read just before in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not worthy of us. For if they had been with us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Notice that the word Antichrist has only been used by Apostle John for 5 times. 2 times in chapter 2, verse 18. 1 in chapter 2, 22. 1 in chapter 4, verse 3. And the last one in 2 John, chapter 1, verse 7. The word Antichrist means opposed to Christ or against Christ. Antichrist generally means 3 things. First, either the spirit of this world that is opposed or deny Christ. Second, means a lot of different false teachers who teach heresies. And 3, refer to a special person or a political system who will be heading up the final rebellions against Christianity. The special person or political system is a supreme evil person or force. When we go back and trace the New Testament history, Judas was the one who left the fellowship. In John chapter 13, during the Last Supper, despite following Jesus for 3 years, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, was never converted. He was just tagging along with the group of disciples. After the dinner, Jesus told the disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." Jesus further said, "I will dip the bread in the sauce and give it to the one I was talking about." And Jesus gave it to Judas. When Judas eaten the bread, the Bible says, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, "Whatever you do, do quickly." So Judas leapt at once, and he later betrayed his master with a symbol of kiss. After Judas receiving the piece of bread, he went out immediately. He departed. And at the end, he ended his life by hanging himself. When you reflect on this, you should ask, what was my motive when I accept Christ? Just for personal ambition? just to expand my social network or just having fun in the church. Right now, am I still carrying this motive? Someone like Judas, coming so close, but yet so far. So let us stay in fellowship. Fellowship literally means coming together in the same boat. Fellowship in Chinese, it means we stay in the same boat, even when persecution, suffering, and struggling come around. I think it is not enough for us just come to the church for an hour every week. Other than that, you don't belong to any small group, or you don't have any contact or having fellowship with other brothers and sisters. This may lead you to drift farther and farther. Find a spot where you can get involved. Join a small group or prayer meeting where other people get to know you. You and I are sometimes going through some tough time, going through some struggle. You know, this is going to happen in our life. So, if there is a small group or fellowship, then those are the support network that we need. We know that iron sharpens iron. So stay within and be a part of a group. That's very important. Number three, many so-called Christian group and church, in fact, deny the divinity of Jesus. Data back to the first few centuries, Gnosticism was perhaps the most dangerous heresy that threatened the early church. Gnosticism embraced a dualism of spirit and matter and was greatly influenced by the Greek philosopher Plato. Gnosticists believed that anything done in the body has no meaning because real life exists in the inner spirit only. The Gnosticists believed that Jesus' physical body was not real, but only seemed to be physical. We know that such will destroys not only the truth humanity of Jesus, but also his atonement. This totally contradicts to the biblical view of Jesus. The Bible fully affirms Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, coexist in the same person. Jesus also made the claim in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. That's why he can be the mediator between the Father and us. That's why he claimed in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Antichrist who denies itself, the Antichrist who identifies itself by denying Jesus was God, denying Jesus, his divinity. That is the background of verse 21 to 23. Here, Apostle John strongly condemned. Today, many religions, they deny or undermine the divinity of Jesus in a subtle way. Oftentimes they say, "We all worship the same God. You have one name for him, and I have another. But that doesn't matter. We are just talking about different roles to the same God, because we all have the same God." Here is the question you could respond to them. Was your God perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ? If it is truth, then it is. Then you have the same God as mine. If your God wasn't perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ, then you do not have the same God as in the Bible. So let us be aware of the false teaching of denying the full divinity of Jesus. For Christians, you and I are important to spend time in God's Word every day, because the more we know the Scripture, the easier it will be for us to spot false truth. Not only will we be able to spot false teaching, but our relationship with God will be much stronger. Tom Rainer, a U.S. Christian writer, in his book called Essential Church, Reclaiming a Generation of Dropout, he tries and he identifies seven sins of dying churches. And that seven sins, I think number one and number seven. Number one is doctrine dilution. Number seven, biblical illiteracy. These two are the victim to what I'm just described here as anti-Christian force denies the divinity of Jesus. So it's really important for us to know about the Scripture. To sum up, quite often we don't know how much the world dominates our thinking, and often our thoughts are more of the world than of the Father. Some surveys find nowadays there is very little difference in ethical behavior between churchgoers and unchurched people. When temptation or difficulties come, if we have no support group around in the church, we will then more easily forsaking our faith. And to avoid spiritual deception or compromise to what we believe, learn and know your Bible well. May God bless you. Let us with a closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that through your Son Jesus, who died on the cross in redeeming us, we know we are saved. We know you are the God. We ask for the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, always remind us of your love. And nobody can steal that away. Satan cannot use his tactics to deceive us. Give us the strength to practice diligently what we believe and to discern the false teachings, protecting us and granting us the wisdom to discern your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.